Good morning. The reading this morning is from Colossians 3, verses 1 to 10, and that can be found on page 1118 of the Pew Bible. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which has been renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jim, for bringing God's word to us, and Pete for leading us. I always find so much to learn as we worship together, sometimes more so than the sermon itself. So if you have nothing to learn from the sermon, that's fine with me. I hope that as we worship together, we learn as well. Well, this is the last in our series. We've been looking at Exodus. We've been looking at the story of the people of God as they fled from Egypt. And I don't know what your thoughts are as you've looked at the whole series. I think one of the thoughts that comes to mind immediately is, what a rabble. The problems that they caused Moses, the things that happened to them. They were not an easy people to lead. Well, while we've been looking at the people of Israel, we've also been hearing a series of modern songs written by Ed Sheeran. I'm very aware that they may not be the sort of songs or even the style that you particularly like, but I think the words that Ed writes in his songs are very deep in many ways, that they may be written in terminology that we struggle with, but this is the sort of message that millions and millions of people, young people, as well as older people, are listening to. They're not listening to our songs. They're not listening to the hymns and the songs that we sing here. They're listening to these songs. So we need to think about them. Think about what message is being given out. Well, today we're going to listen to a song. It's more like a rap in many ways. And Ed Sheeran writes in this song about his attempt to block out, to erase some of the problems that he's faced. Despite his great success, he finds that there is pain in his life. And so he talks about his pain eraser. Let's have a look at the song.
I I was born inside a small town, I lost that state of mind. Learned to sing inside the Lord's house, but stopped the age of 9. I forget when I get awards now, the wave I had to ride. The paving stones I played upon that kept me on the grind. So blame it on the pain that blessed me with the life. Friends and family filled with envy when they should be filled with pride. And when the world's against me is when I really come alive. And every day that Satan tempts me, I try to take it in my stride. You know that I've got whiskey with white lies and smoke in my lungs. I think life has got to the point, I know without it's no fun. I need to get in the right mind and clear myself up. Instead I look in the mirror questioning what I've become. Guess it's a stereotypical day for someone like me. Without a 9-to-5 job or a uni degree. To be caught up in the trappings of the industry. Show me the locked doors, I'll find another use for the key. And you'll see.
I'm well aware of certain things that can destroy a man like me. But with that said, give me one more. Anyway. I am happy on my own, so here I'll stay. Save your love and arms for rainy day. And I'll find comfort in my pain.
So despite his humble beginnings, Ed Sheeran has this dream of becoming a major recording star. And then he achieves that dream. He becomes a huge hit. But he still finds that there's pain. He finds that riches do not bring satisfaction. He writes in that, money is the root of all evil and fame is hell. So he looks to other things to erase the pain and the anxiety, whether that's drink, drugs or sex, something to take the pain away. The DJ Chris Evans wrote this: most people chase their dreams until they die. I've got everything and found that it is nothing, and I'm only 35. But the people of Israel also had their dreams. A whole generation or more spent in slavery, and how they dreamt and yearned for freedom. They cried out to God in their desperation to rescue them, and God answered their prayer. They saw their dreams come true, something that they probably thought would never, ever happen. It's a traumatic experience for them, but God, he sends Moses to speak for them on their behalf. He sets them free from Pharaoh's tyranny. He leads them through the desert by cloud during the day with a fire at night. Despite their doubts and their questions, he leads them forward. And then he provides food and water. Despite their continuing grumbles, he graciously provides everything that they need. And they find themselves now at the foot of Mount Sinai. This is the third month after leaving Egypt. And they camp there. Moses goes and talks to God. And he comes and he takes a message back to the people. The message is very simple. He says, I have looked after you. Now, if you obey me fully, you will be my treasured possession. What a lovely message to hear. You're going to become my treasured possession. And so the people, they all say, yes, we'll do it. We promise to obey you. And Moses takes the message back to God. And then God, through Moses, tells them to get ready. He says, prepare. In 3 days I will come down from the mountain. And on the third day, Moses leads the people towards the mountain. The mountain's covered with smoke and fire. And the people are told very clearly, you cannot come any closer. They are warned, in fact, do not touch the mountain. Don't even let your animals touch the mountain. God speaks to Moses and gives him the Ten Commandments, which we heard about last week as Dave preached about the summary of those commands, the summary which was to love God and to love our neighbour. That summarised all of these commandments. And then Moses returns back to the people and he takes Aaron and some of the elders part of the way up the mountain, and there they worship God and they sacrifice. And then God speaks to Moses and he tells Moses, I want you to come up again to me. Moses goes part of the way up with Joshua and they spend 6 days there. And then at the seventh day, God speaks to Moses and said, now come up alone to the top of the mountain. And there Moses spends 40 days and nights hearing God's word, speaking to God. So it's been over something like 7 weeks now since the people arrived at Mount Sinai. They've had their answers, their prayers answered, their dream of becoming free has become a reality. But they've got time on their hands. The reality is not quite what they expected. And there's still pain. They've had hunger and thirst in the desert. And they really don't know what is going on, what's going to happen to them. And what on earth has happened to this chap Moses? He's disappeared again up into the mountain. And now, 40 days later, there's no sign of him. Is he even still alive? Is he going to lead us? Where is he going to take us next? And so they have this combination of time on their hands and worry and anxiety. So what do? Well, they look for an escape route, something to erase the pain, something to block out their problems. And so they go to Aaron and they say, Aaron, build us an idol. Make us something physical, something that we can see, something that we can actually touch, because we can't touch God. In fact, we're afraid to go near God. And they look for a substitute. They substitute an idol that Aaron makes for them, a golden calf, for the true and living God. And they also lose control. If Exodus talks about the people running wild. And they worship this idol. So what does this passage in Exodus, something that you probably all know and have read many times, this golden idol, what's it got to say to you and to me? Surely we are too sophisticated to have idols today. Surely we do not bow down to images made out of silver or gold or wood or stone. We know that in some societies that still happens, that people do worship these sorts of images, but not us. We wouldn't do such a thing. God has rescued us. Just as he did his own people, he has rescued us. He has saved us from slavery to sin. He has sent someone, his own dear son, on our behalf to speak for us, to stand between us and a holy God, his son, Jesus Christ. And yet, despite that dream for us of being set free, of becoming God's children, we still also face difficulties, as the people did. We still face doubts. We still face pain. So what do we do? Are we any more sophisticated, or do we also look for our pain erasers? How do you block out the pain that sometimes comes into your life? How do you erase them? Perhaps through alcohol or drugs. Perhaps through sex, through relationships with other people. Or maybe our idols, our pain erasers, are a little bit more subtle. Perhaps we go for retail therapy. Let's go shopping. That always makes me feel better. That great eraser, television. How much time we spend in watching the TV. Or the internet, or the iPhone. How much time do we spend there? How do we lose ourselves on the internet? You've seen everybody, haven't you? You go traveling, you walk down the road, and there's somebody pounding and doing exercises, but they've got their phones on, they're listening to music, they're listening to their iPhone. They're on the underground, and you look at the train around you, and everybody's plugged into something. They're looking at you, but they're not really aware because they're listening to something else. And for some people, the internet takes up hours and hours a day. Perhaps exercise becomes something for you. I should do more exercise. I'm a bit like Dave. I actually do know that I also need it. But for some people, exercise becomes all-consuming. Oh, how about comfort food? Surely we wouldn't escape into comfort food. Or maybe we do. Just that something that makes us feel a little bit better, takes the pain away a little bit. Or maybe it's living in the past. Remember that John spoke about this 2 or 3 weeks ago as he talked about the fact that the people of Israel looked back with nostalgia and kidded themselves that somehow life was better in Egypt when really it was awful. And so they lived in the past rather than living in the present. And that erased some of the pain and the struggles. Or maybe it's just about keeping busy. If I do things, if I do stuff, I don't have to think about the pain. I don't have to think about what's going on. Or maybe, dare I say it, even church work. Even immersing ourselves in doing things can still take up the place of God in my life. You see, don't get me wrong, as you look at that list, and there's so many other things, there's so much there that is very harmless. It's part of our lives. It's the way we relax. And for some of us, we need to relax. We actually need to learn to relax. And I'm not suggesting any of, you know, all of these things are things that we should stop doing. But I suspect that if we looked into our life, and we probably know ourselves, we know our weaknesses, and we know the things that we use to escape from what's happening around us. And so we need to take care, because we can so easily become addicted to these things. They start to take over. So just think for yourself, think about how much time do I spend doing some of these activities and why am I doing it? I'm very aware, you know, I love police series. I love watching Inspector Morse and all those series. And I'm very aware that if I'm not careful, I just get pulled into it. So when I see a new series, and there's so many channels, there's so much available, I see a new series starting up, another Scandinavian mystery or whatever, I think, no, I won't even start. I see it's another 6 series or 10 series. Like, that's going to take up so much time. No, I'm not going to get into that. And so I make a deliberate choice because I know it will pull me into this. It will take up time, the time that I should be also giving to the Lord. And for some of us, addiction is something that's more of a problem than for others. But take a look at your own life. Think about the things that you use to erase the pain. Because there is another way. And we looked at the series in Colossians. First of all, Jesus invites all those who are burdened. He says, come to me, those who are carrying heavy burdens, and learn from me. Take my yoke upon you, because my burden is light. And in Matthew, there's this amazing invitation. He says, yes, you are burdened. Maybe you have pain. Where do you go to first? Not to all these other things. Come to me first of all. Because there will be consequences if we turn to these things. And the Bible talks about God in one place, and it says God is a jealous God. And not jealous in the way that we think of jealousy, but he will not tolerate things taking his place. And for the people of Israel, they were judged. The results of their idolatry, he took the people, the Levites went in and amongst their own kin, their fathers, their brothers, they killed them. They slaughtered 3,000 people were killed that day because of their idolatry. And that was followed on later by a plague that God sent upon his people. He punished his people. If we allow these things to fill our lives, to fill our time, to erase the pain, to replace God, to replace the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be consequences. God will start to feel a long way off from us. My relationship with him will suffer. So how else can I guard against this? Colossians says, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated. Set your minds on things above. Don't set your minds on earthly things. Colossians says, put on this new self, which is being renewed day by day. Your pain erasers, whatever it happens to be. Why not put those aside? Recognize your own weaknesses, the things that you know take up your time. And instead, use that time, set that time to spend time with the Lord, to think about him. Let your mind be filled with him rather than with images and television and all the other things around us. Let your heart be full of him rather than being drawn into other things that we enjoy. We're going to close by singing a hymn, Be Thou My Vision, and it reminds us of so much that God needs to be the center of our lives and our hearts. We don't know who wrote this, the original words. This is probably about the oldest hymn in the repertoire that we sing, written probably back in the 7th or 8th century. But it reminds us, Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart, thou my best thought by day or by night. Let God fill our hearts and fill our lives. And when we in pain, when we're struggling. Let's not go to the television first, or alcohol first, or even our friends first. Let's not be busy. Let's not fill our lives with things, even good things like working in the church, working for God. Let's go to Him first of all.